Hello, Saver. Whether you're saving for that trip to the tropics or saving for an emergency, now is the time to take advantage of Wells Fargo's savings options. Wells Fargo offers savings accounts that can help you save towards your goals. So, what are you saving for? Visit a Wells Fargo branch or wellsfargo.com/save to open a savings account today.
Wells Fargo Bank N.A. Member FDIC.
The thing about summer break, it's a lot of work.
Mm. It really is.
Everything changed. You know, when you're a kid, you can't wait for summer break, summer vacation. We're going to sleep in. We're going to watch movies. We're going to ride bikes. We're going to go. Then you're on this side of it. You're like, man, I really like school.
Yes, it's a saving grace.
School is a blessing. School is padded in babysitting, structure, predictability, somewhat safety. It's just the best.
Yes.
Other friends.
Yep.
We woke up yesterday morning to a rude awakening. 66 days of this, buddy.
Wow.
That's a lot of days.
Buckle up. I can't find camps. Like, you know what I did last night? Just looked up camps.
Mm. Yeah, smart.
You know, for the last couple of months, we're talking about camps and camps and camps. Yet last night, Ernest goes to camp. I mean, I was passionate.
Wow.
I'm finding camps. They're sold out. I'm emailing places. I'm like, these guys, I almost put them in a beach camp today.
Love it.
In fact, my oldest, he was down. Yeah. And then I looked at the price and I go, well, we're not going to that one.
They're pricey. Wait, did you say Ernest goes to camp?
Yeah, it's a reference.
Do you know that reference?
No, she would not know that. Come on. I expected you to know it.
Our intern gets it. He gets
you're,
it.
You're with it? Ernest goes to jail. Ernest goes to camp.
Ernest does Christmas.
Ernest, yeah, he was like the
Madea.
He was like the Madea. He's like the white Madea. Yeah.
Who's Ernest?
He's a wild guy. He's like Nate's uncle.
Okay. Truly, actually. Wow. You got me.
I'm not far away. Ernest is like the guy at church that you're like, oh, good to see you, but you're not trying to stop to talk to.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He's just like a high and by.
Probably has multiple Christian shirts.
Oh, yeah. Man. This guy can quote Carmen lyrics like you wouldn't imagine. He's a DC talker.
Yes.
He's a...
My first concert.
Ever. Again, he's a Christian tea guy. My point being, I've never been so stressed out in my life. But you know what? I'm going to lead through the crisis. Let's go. Oh, welcome to another episode of Leadership Summer Lean In.
Mm. Ooh, summer edition. I like it.
Summertime. Ooh, the summertime. I quoted Summertime, by the way, on Sunday, and it was a flippity flop.
Yeah, it flopped.
Flopped tough. Now, and then in defense of my commitment to the 90s, a couple of people defended me in person. Were like, hey, I want to let you know that landed for me.
It's good. I'm glad it landed for them.
We are back at it. Episode, we're at 115, I'm being told.
Yep.
The streets are talking.
Wow.
And they're telling us that we are all the way to episode number 115. We're a long way from Chris D'Urso. He was 100.
That's wild.
What a fun event.
That was great.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Met some great people that day. Some friends now. Awesome. People I met that day are now my friends.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that was awesome. We got to do more of these. I'm watching this Smartless doc, mm-hmm. and I'm like, wow, we got to get on the road. Have you watched it yet?
I haven't. Last night we were, it was between Succession and that.
And you chose the better.
I did.
Yeah, smart. Yeah, the storyline. The Murdoch family. We got to see what happened with them.
Yep.
Nevertheless, we are back at it. Thank you to all the leaners out there that are trying to get a little bit better. We can't promise perfection.
Mm-mm.
You were going to say something. I cut you off.
I was. Okay. So we've had a little bit of discrepancy about what it means to be a leaner.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. I like this.
This is true.
Well, you know, we've been doing the YouTube shorts. And I guess it's going, the algorithm's getting some people who are not familiar with leadership leaning content. So this clip we posted said, leaners, whatever you do, don't quit. And it's just about not quitting. And then people are like, is this guy encouraging people to do drugs?
Because lean.
Lean. Yeah.
I didn't.
I am. I am. The drug of faith, you sickos.
So I just wanted to clear that
filthy
up.
Filthy animals. Lean. Yeah, lean's a drink. It lean's yeah, a yeah, yeah, right?
I'm not, I don't know. Yes, what is it?
Yeah, it's a drink. Was it Lil Wayne on Lean?
Oh yeah. I don't think we can name an album where he wasn't.
Yeah, right. That was his choice, right?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, sorry, I just got a text about I'm taking care of people for Dodger tickets tonight. That's kind of it's kind of a great gift to give people, I think.
Yes.
Someone gave me Dodger tickets. I can't make it. So what do? You bless other people. Absolutely. It's like, we're not going to let these go to waste.
Yeah, no.
It's L.A. in the summer. What's better than Dodger Stadium? Getting into the Chavez Ravine.
Yeah.
And just having a night. Vacillating between the Brooklyn Dog and the Dodger Dog. Let's have them both.
Yeah.
I've never had the Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah, it's a whole situation. You're going to love it. Nevertheless, today we are talking about, if you are writing notes down, which I love that we got, internships, groups, teams. Thank you to all the teams that watch this together, listen together. You know what we're talking about? Pour some passion on the thing.
Ooh. Love it.
Put some fuel in the fire. There's nothing worse than a passionless leader.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, this, it's the whole thing about leadership. 95% of what you do, anybody could do.
Yeah.
95% of it. The 5% that makes you unique is, of course, your personality, of course, your gifting, your unique grace. But I think it's also when you got some passion, some fire around it, and you care. Half of your job, I think, is caring.
Mm.
And the moment you stop caring about the little details and the moment you stop caring about thank you cards and text messages and the team meal and the photos and the moment you stop caring, we're done.
Yeah.
And what you care about, by the way, is uniquely suited to your personality.
Mm-hmm.
So the things that you care about might not be the things I care about, but that's the way that God made me.
Yeah.
And it's I like that. There's a band that I really love, and the head guy, he is in like all the merch details, all the graphics, the song. He plays most of the instruments, and that's how he was made. You know, so some people are like, well, you can empower others to do. Well, not necessarily.
Right.
Because he is passionate so much so that he's like, I want to have my hand and my unique creativity in every aspect of this. Whatever it is for you, just don't lose your passion. You got to stay passionate about your marriage, passionate about the team, passionate about your kids. So to me, it's a cocktail of great decisions that get you into passion, and it's a cocktail of bad decisions that get you out of passion.
That's right.
So it's not one thing. If I do this one, if I sleep, I get passion. No.
Right.
No.
You get sleep.
It's not just sleep. Yeah, so you get sleep. You got sleep. So it's physically, it's emotionally, it's financially, it's spiritually, it's every nook and cranny of your life getting you to a place. What is our goal? Our goal is to be the healthiest version of ourselves.
Yeah.
To be the best version, because if I'm the best version of me, my passion level will be high. But when you start to have cracks and you start to live with compromise, or you start to have seasons of exhaustion, you're going to lose your passion.
Hmm.
Life is demanding.
Yeah. Right.
We're on summer vacation. It's demanding, people. And you've got to do everything within your power to make the right decisions systematically to keep your passion level high. So I'm going to give you a few things to encourage you today. There's just a few thoughts when it comes to pour some passion on it, because I'm telling you, what your team needs is passion.
That's right.
You show me a fired up leader and people are like, I'll follow that guy.
That's right.
I'll follow her. I'll follow him. Why? What is it? What makes him so special? Well, they're look at him.
Yeah.
Half of just watching. You ever see somebody that's leading with passion? You're like, it's like Tim Tebow's up there. He's like, his famous speech. He's like, I promise you, as long as I'm here on this team, we will never lose another game. And I'm going to do everything within my power. And da, da, da. And it's like, I'm on my couch going like, I'll follow that guy.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, totally.
I believe that guy.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't put a premium or a price on passion.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get it back. Number one, without the practice of disciplines, you become dull, dry, or boring. Mm-hmm. And so hit me with it, James Clear.
Hit me with it, James Clear. Habits of the compound interest of self-improvement.
Hit me with it, James Clear, again. I need to hear it twice.
Habits of the compound interest of self-improvement.
Compound. And what does he say all the time? We talk about it all the time, leaners. You don't rise to the level of your goals. You fall to the level of your system. So show me your disciplines. Here's some disciplines that you need in your life. What about solitude?
Mm. Yeah.
I was talking to a leader the other day, and he's like, man, I'm dealing with a lot of shame because I can't put my phone down right now.
Such a big thing.
It's such an addiction. I'm telling you, since this guy said this, I've really been leaving my phone in places and just trying to get freed up.
Do you ever not take your phone with you places?
Yes.
Yeah, especially when I'm with my family. I'm going to hook you up with this Aura Box thing. I don't know if you've ever heard of this.
You told me about this. Yes. What is it? Say it again.
Aura Box. A-R-O Box.
Okay.
And when I get home, I put my phone in it, and it gamifies how long.
Gamifies.
And so now my whole family, we're all on it. Tommy, you know, we got friends on it, and so we're seeing who can spend the most time with their family without their phone.
Come on, man.
Wow.
Hey, I was down 11% this week compared to last week.
That's great.
It's huge.
11% is a big jump.
Yeah.
That is big.
He was saying, I asked him, so are you concerned because it doesn't allow you to create intimate relationships, like, you know, meaningful connections? Wow. And he said, furthermore, it's not allowing me to be intimate with myself, like understanding myself. Mm.
Shoot.
And I didn't even think about that because it's like any dead space, most of us are just scrolling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If we got a break, we're waiting for Uber, it's a scroll.
Mm-hmm.
If it's, you know, what, name a moment. If it's dead, we're scrolling. And I think it's very important for us to take breaks, to be able to be in solitude, to be able to meditate, to be able to think. I read this great thing going in the summer about how powerful and useful it is for our kids to be bored. The resilience that it creates.
That's good.
The creativity that it builds. And a lot of us as adults, we're like, that's good for them. But it's like, we need to be bored.
Yeah, that's right.
We need to have off time. We need to have off screen time. We need to be able to unplug. You need solitude. You need silence. Just sitting in silence and just, you know, thinking. We've been talking a lot about the power of the subconscious versus the conscience. And consciously deciding to think about gratitude, thinking about wins. I'm a big proponent on how do you integrate victories into you.
Yeah.
We, as leaders, we blow past these monumental, historic, incredible accomplishments, and we act like it's nothing. We just keep going, just keep building, keep grinding, keep. It's not healthy. I think we need silence to be able to integrate and acknowledge to our own self, you did that.
Mm.
You spoke that. You wrote that. You performed that. You led that team to, you know, the championship. You did that. That was you. And without silence, it's like the whole thing when you go to the AMC movie theater where they say silence is golden.
Right.
Silence is not just golden in the movie. Silence is golden with yourself.
Yeah.
And having the systems. What about a prayer, acknowledgement, just praying to God, going, God, I know you're good and you're for me and you're with me. And the discipline of, I find that people that don't pray are so overwhelmed and stressed and they're burnt out on so many issues of life. It's like, no, you need the discipline of a prayer life.
That's right.
And the thought on that, Philippians 4 says, if you're worried about everything, it's because you're praying about nothing. Mm-hmm. So flip that. If I pray about everything, I'm not going to be worried about anything.
That's right.
And so you need that as a discipline. What about study? It's a big one. And I really respect, my brother-in-law passed away a couple of years ago. He had a tragic accident and went to be, you know, with Jesus. And it was a really horrific experience for his wife and for the family. And at the funeral, one of the things that his wife was talking about was he had this discipline of getting up early in the morning and going down to the basement to study.
Hmm.
Not in school, but studying.
Yeah.
And I love that. I think that to be a, you know, it's like an old cliche saying, right? Leaders are readers.
Right.
This morning in the car, because Julia was teaching a Connect group. So I took the boys with me in the car. And I said, okay, boys, it's, you know, it was 8:18. I go, 8:18, usually where are we? And they're like, we'll be right by about this spot. I go, yep, by 8:18, we're taking a right here. Like, I got this thing down to a science.
Yeah.
8:22, you're getting out of the car. I go, 8:23, what happens, Clive? The moment the two older boys get out of the car, this poor 5-year-old has to listen to audiobooks every day. So he doesn't go till 9. So from age 22 to 9, he listens to audiobooks. So I go, boys, you're going to listen to what your 5-year-old brother listens to every day. And I listen to an audiobook.
Yep.
And so we're driving, and they're just like, this is so boring. I'm like, you need to learn. You're not in school right now.
Resilience.
But studying.
Yeah.
Learning. Growing. So what is that time for you? When do you learn? How do you have that as a practice? Meditating. Fasting. I believe in this. Fasting is such a big deal because I think it's always good for us to think and know I'm in control.
Yeah.
My appetite is not doesn't control me.
Yeah.
My flesh side, which is crazy cravings and crazy desires.
Right.
And thoughts become things. Just this thought. I wanted to eat this. I wanted to buy this. I wanted DoorDash. It's like I got to have these. So for you, what are your disciplines, which are a system that allows you? I think, again, I'm going to say it again. It's a cocktail of great decisions that get you passionate.
Yep.
You know, like, and it, sometimes lack of passion just hits you unexpectedly.
Right.
And I was at this event last week, and I was like, oh, no. Where is it at? I've done all my disciplines. What do I need to do? And then just that one more trigger was allowed, just that. Poof. Remember when you used to start a fire and you put some gas on it?
Yeah.
And it's just like, whoa.
Yes.
It's like, I think that disciplines are the gas.
That's really good.
Disciplines are that thing that make it go.
Yep.
But I think the disciplines to me are not only what keep the gas, keep the fire burning.
Yep.
To me, the disciplines are that gas that like, whoop.
It's catalyst.
It's catalytic. It's just like, whoop. Like, man, I just read this book. I just had this journaling time. I just fasted for 3 days. I just, oh man, I'm feeling revitalized. I'm feeling energized. We go to this Orange Theory Fitness class, and right next to it is this, they're so big right now. This cold plunge sauna, Invisalign. I don't know everything. The guy's like, my God, it's one stop shop. You get your teeth fixed, your mind fixed, your whole thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, why do people go there? Because it's like, I want to feel good.
That's right.
And I want to feel alive so I can be the best version. I don't care what you have to do. Meditate, fast, journal, silence, solitude, whatever you got to do. You've got to get your disciplines right so that you can be the most passionate version of you. I saw this great thing about parenting the other day. And this lady was saying, parenting, like marriage is 50-50. It's not. Sometimes I come home and I need to be able to say, I'm at 20% tonight. Yeah. So my wife could be like, all right, you're at 20? I'll pick up the 80.
I loved this clip. I saw this.
You saw this?
Yeah.
I thought this was a genius idea.
Yep.
Julia sent it to me and goes, we need to be like this. Let's try this.
Steph sent me the same thing.
Yeah, it's so good.
She went to bed and then sent it to me. Yeah.
Julia sent me hers during church while she was home with our sick boys. Anyways. What I'm saying is, there's nothing worse than you're at 20.
Yeah.
There's nothing. These are real moments. All of us are vulnerable. All of us are. There's only one guy that has a Superman cape, and it's not you.
Right.
You're not a superhero. You're a human. You're just a boy or girl. Mm-hmm. We need to acknowledge I've lost my passion, and I got to get it back. And so what was it? Sometimes people lose their passion out of relationship. And they go, man, this happened. And it really, what is it? Hope deferred makes the heart sick.
That's right.
I was hopeful about this outcome. I was hopeful about being a New York Times bestseller. Hopeful about selling, my new movie or whatever. And it didn't happen. And you're dealing with heartache.
Yeah.
You got to do everything you can to get that healed so you can move forward with passion. You know what's fresh? You took the words out of my mouth. Hello, Fresh. Hello, Fresh is your recipe for success. That's right, everybody. I'm dropping hints about recipes. You're like, Chad, get out of here. You have no idea what you're talking about. I do. Because the other day at my doorstep, this is a true story, Hello, Fresh was there. And I said, Hello, Fresh. It is more convenient than grocery shopping. But did you know it's cheaper too? Okay, I'm a stat guy. You know me. It's also 25% less expensive than takeout. That is a fact. And I know it to be true because they put it right here in the doc. So I'm reading it. HelloFresh is your footprint foolproof instructions to high quality proteins and veggies. HelloFresh brings out your inner chef. Ooh, I want to bring out my inner chef. What is this, COVID? With every tasty and easy to prepare meal, make sure you go to HelloFresh.com/lean16. I got to be honest. I think it's got to be lean in 16 moving forward. But for now, lean 16, HelloFresh.com/lean16. Use the code lean16 for 16. That's right. In Spanish, 16 free meals plus free shipping. Make sure you get on to HelloFresh.com/lean16. Highly encourage you to take care of America or take advantage of America's number one meal kit. Leaners, let's go. Number two, keep the vision in front of you. This is how you stay passionate as a leader. Keep vision at the forefront. Keep vision right there. It's like vision is the fuel. Okay, I got all my disciplines, all these things that you should be robotic. You should be predictable. You should be boring. I believe this. You should live a boring life. You want to be a great leader? Be boring.
Mm. Yeah, have you heard that Popovich quote?
No.
He was like, what's so great about Tim Duncan and Kobe and Jordan? And he goes, they wanted to be boring.
That's
they
it.
And no one else was in the gym, and they just said, we're going to put up another 100 shots. You know, they just embraced the boring, and it made them the best, literally the best.
So good.
And I think, I've been on this Proverb of the Day kick, and today, the 11th in the New Living, it's like work, diligent.
Sleep, a little slumber.
You can't escape work ethic, right?
Yeah.
So to me, what I love about all these disciplines is the disciplines allows me to feel like I'm in control of this guy. That's the hardest part. Yeah, leadership, right. The hardest thing is leading you.
That's right.
When I get my disciplines in order, then out of that strength, I can look at my vision. And I feel like now I got the confidence to accomplish.
That's wow. Right.
I've got the ability to attack. I'm now in attack mode, but the vision's got to be clear.
Right.
The thing about vision, Andy Stanley says vision leaks. It leaks. It's just a slow drift. It's a Tokyo drift. It just slowly leaks out there. Just, I appreciate you getting that. It just slow. I saw you move your head. It just slowly drifts. Okay. Vision leaks. Like toothpaste leaks out, just like leaks. It just, it's gone. It's like a balloon. The air just kind of leaks out. Vision leaks. So it's my job to always pump the vision back into me, pump the vision back into people. So when I've got my disciplines in order, it allows me to be personally passionate about who I am and what I'm supposed to do and why I exist. And then I got, I got a heavenly vision too. Mm-hmm. So now I'm going like, oh, that's right. I can see the geography. I can see geography.
It's so close.
It's like right there. I can see the geography. I can see the picture. I remember writing it down. I remember it's plain for me so I can run with it. And it's like, okay, I'm really in touch with my failures and my successes. And I spent time in solitude. And I've been meditating, I've been learning. I've got this crazy confidence. I'm ready to go. Look out. Now I'm in attack mode.
Yep.
I'm going to put some passion on this thing.
That's right.
And I'm going to attack this vision. I really think that this type of leader to me is what we would call someone that can execute. If it takes you a long time to do stuff, you should be very scared. If you're looking at the same to-do list that you've been looking at for the last 15 episodes, something's wrong.
Wow.
Yo.
And it's usually your systems.
Yep.
It's your disciplines are off. Because when you get all that stuff sorted, it's like, it's game over. I'm now living in attack mode for the vision that I've got. And then is the next one. You need vision in front of you, and you need to always internalize the mission. What is your mission? What is your mission? I love that people are making family values and family mission statements.
Yeah, that's so cool.
I really appreciate this. I've been inspired by families that do this. I haven't yet made ours with Julie and I want to. But I do have one for us as a corporation. As a community. And that one, to me, I'm constantly rehearsing it.
Yep.
These four buckets, which I really got from Chris Hodges and just kind of use different language around it to make it more mine. A lot of times I can steal from people. I love that book that you had.
Steal Like an Artist.
Steal Like an Artist. That is a brilliant title. Steal like God gave you eyes, plagiarize.
Yeah.
Steal like an artist. I love stealing great ideas, but in order for them to be mine, they need my language.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
Because that helps me. It just helps me own it more. Think mm-hmm. so
it
much
honors
of
the original when you improve on it.
Totally. And it helps me in my context. So I got that. I internalized it. I gave it my verbiage, my language. But this mission, whenever I am feeling low or frustrated or overwhelmed, taxed, exhausted, any of these things, I'm losing passion, I will revisit my vision and my mission. Mm,
that's great.
And the vision that's on my life and the mission that I know that I've received. This is my mission. This is my mission. Wow. This is why. And to live on mission. Yeah. So to speak, that ability to get there, to get your mission back, I'm telling you, that will take you from being like rote, mundane, religious, going through the motions, stuck, to being like, oh, it's on. Mm. Like, I'm going after this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of a sudden, it's all worth it.
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, it's like, oh, I'll do everything within my power and my capability to accomplish that, because there's a line that Paul uses in the book of Acts that I've always really, really loved. He's talking to a king and he says, you know, I've been obedient to the heavenly vision.
Yeah.
Kind of what he's saying is I've been living on mission. I don't joke around. I'm not playing games here. Like, so much of leadership, I think, is putting away your, you know, when I was a boy, I'd talk like a boy. When I was a child, I'd act like a child. But it's like, I'm a leader now. And I don't just get to live up in my emotions. And
that's right.
I don't just get to, like, have an off day or just, you know, just do whatever I want. I'm a leader and I'm a feeder. I've got, you know, it's like, it's a wild day to wake up and go, people's lives are dependent upon me.
Yeah, seriously.
And if I don't really get my junk together, there's collateral damage here.
Right.
It's not just my own house. There's other houses that are. I think that's a scary place for leadership. And when you lose your passion, I think so much of passion goes back to identity as well, not knowing who you are.
That's right.
Yeah.
When you were talking about the Tim Tebow stuff and in the beginning, because it reminds me of how we talked about we don't follow the competent leaders, we follow the confident leaders, and confidence and passion go so hand in hand, because if you're not passionate, you're not going to be confident about what you're doing.
Don't you think this is the signal? This is like why I think your private life is so important and why I think it matters so much. Because when you step out into public, you better be ready to go.
Yeah.
Like, you better be ready to go. And to me, the private stuff is like physical health, working out, eating right, sleeping right, disciplines, all this kind of stuff. Because it's like, you step out in the public, it's like, it's game on.
Yeah.
Like, let's go.
You're on display.
You're on display. Like, you know, with in sports, it's like, we know if you, like, we're out partying last night or not.
Yeah.
We know if you got sleep or not. Like, it's, you can't hide.
Yeah.
Leadership, you can't hide.
Yeah.
Because people are like, it's so unspoken. It's like trust.
Mm.
It's like likability. Why do I like people and why don't I not like people? So unspoken.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's moxie. It's aura. It's nuance. It's presence. Yep. It's physical communication, body language.
Right. It's the difference between a leader and a manager. A manager is a leader without passion.
There you go. That's a great way to look at it.
That's transactionary.
Yeah.
You know, you can move that person wherever they want, you know, whenever you want. They have no passion. It doesn't matter.
And I think I was trying to say this earlier the other day. I was trying to say, you know, people quit about 3-4 months before you find out.
Yeah, they're gone before they're gone.
We find out about a divorce. The marriage ended a year and a half ago, maybe 6 months ago. Right. So when someone tells you about X, Y, and Z, it's like these decisions were made internally a long time ago.
Yeah, right.
So we've got to find ways to internally, it's all about the inside. Life is this inner scoreboard that you're trying to win in. The game that you're really playing is not the stock market.
Yeah.
It's not a savings or a Roth IRA or some kind of investment or an early investor or an angel investor or any of these things. The game that you're playing is an inside job. And yet the only one that knows if you're winning or not is you.
Yeah.
You're the only one. Who are you lying to? You're not fooling anybody. You could maybe fool somebody. That's fine, but not for very long.
Yeah.
Not for very long. Yep. Like, we're going
to... It falls apart.
It falls apart. You got to have longevity of success. You know, a great line that I love that Jesus says is not just being fruitful, but having fruit that remains. Like, keep going. Mm. And I don't want to get to the place as a leader where it's like, dude, in my 20s, that guy was... Oh, you should have seen him.
Yeah.
Or even as a communicator, I'm always like, dude, if I would die if someone's like, he's just not like, he doesn't like,
doesn't have it.
He doesn't really care. He doesn't prepare. Or like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Can we talk to just real fast and identify, you know, when you were younger, your passion looked different than it does now.
Sure.
But you're not less passionate.
No.
And I think sometimes if we don't see leaders as like charismatic, loud, you know, big, then we don't think that they're passionate.
Mm.
But I think passion shows up in excellence. Passion shows up in, you know, beating people to the punch, getting there, going the extra mile, all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
In
passion to me shows up in commitment and care.
Ooh.
I'm committed, but I'm going to prove that I care. And usually I care about like the details, the small things. I think that, you know, when you start getting the place where you just don't really care about the little stuff, like, it's so funny. The other day, we had an incident where we had an incident with chairs. You know, we really don't run into venues with chairs anymore. But I'm out there with the chairs, like I was eight years ago. And someone was kind of like, not giving me grief, but kind of like, hey man, like, are you really like into the chairs? And I just pulled the guy aside and I was like, hey man, just so you know, like, I don't get paid to do a lot of stuff, but one of the things, like, that's my job is to even care about chairs.
Yep.
What I'm saying to him is, like, I don't get paid to sit in green rooms.
Right.
I don't get paid to, like, write paychecks. I get paid to care.
Yeah. Mm.
This is my job.
Yep.
It's my calling to care. I've got the curse of caring.
Yeah.
I care about people. I care about you. I care about you. I care about your kids.
Yep.
I like that's how passion manifests.
Yeah.
And the moment you stop caring, people just start taking notes.
Wow.
They used to care, didn't they?
Wow. So good.
They used to care so much. Good. They used to care about me. They used to care about this. They used to care about the numbers. They used to care about the team. They used to care, but they stopped caring. To me, stop caring. You lost your passion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, how do you keep your passion? How do you keep your fuel? How do you keep going? Anybody could show up for a while. That's fine. It's so funny. Sunday night after we get done with church and this sweetheart, he's my family, Ben Graves, the great Ben Graves from San Diego's there. And I'm giving him a hug. Man, it's so good to see you. You're up here in LA for the night. Yeah, well, I'm flying to Singapore tonight. Oh, Singapore. I love Singapore. What are you doing over Singapore? Are you preaching? Preaching in Singapore. Oh, which church? There's a couple good ones. I'm going to X Church. I go, oh, my man. I did that one 12 years ago. God bless you. God bless your soul. God bless you. God bless you. I'm still passionate about preaching. I'm not going there. Yeah. But I'm not lost my passion.
Right.
I'm not going like, oh, man, you youngsters, you're on the plane. Da, da, da. I think it's great. Part of his experience and his upbringing, he's growing, he's getting invites, and that's huge. It's like you're flying international in Singapore. I remember that deal and going to KL and walking the streets of Kuala Lumpur and walking around with Russell Evans and eating chicken satay and preaching in different rooms and having interpreters. And the whole, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, I haven't grown desensitized or numb or like, you know, jaded.
Yeah.
I can laugh and acknowledge, but I've not lost my passion.
Right.
Nobody makes me do what I do. Nobody today, leadership leaning, we ain't doing it for money. I tell you, I got to work a little bit better, but what it's a passion.
Yeah. Absolutely.
To talk about it, to learn about it, to be with the leaners, to be in the convo, to try and get better, to try and grow. Just all in with this. You don't got to be the smartest person in the room. You don't have to be known, but you do have to care.
feel like you want to know more about the Bible, but that it's kind of hard to understand? Do you want to share your faith with your friends, but have a hard time figuring out how to do that? Do you want to learn how to connect the Bible to your real life? Well, then this is the show for you. My name is Rachel, and I'm your host. I've been a children's pastor for a long time, and one of my favorite things is helping kids learn how to understand the Bible. I think that sometimes people think that the Bible is just for adults, but God actually really wants kids to know about Him. So on this podcast, we're going to learn all about God's big story and how He shows Himself to us through the Bible. As we learn together what the stories in the Bible mean, we can learn how to live out our faith in our everyday life. Don't forget to subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode.
My name's Preston Sprinkle, and I host the Theology in the Raw podcast. Theology in Raw aims to help believers to think Christianly about theological and cultural issues by engaging in curious conversations with a diverse range of thoughtful people. I have conversations with a wide range of different guests who come from different perspectives, and no topic is off limits. Sexuality, abortion, politics, LGBTQ, warfare, violence, marijuana, immigration, you name it. If you have a theological or cultural issue that you have been wrestling with over 1,100 episodes, we've probably talked about it on Theology in the Raw. Along with conversations with various people, I also address questions sent in from my audience every month. And occasionally, I will talk about some of my latest research projects that I'm currently working on. Theology in the Raw is not for everyone. It is uncut, uncensored, and I don't give trigger warnings. So check out Theology in the Raw through your favorite podcast app.